Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
He's ready for action, back from a cruise, and I was going to talk to him today anyway, but now we've got a lot of stuff to talk about and some different things to talk about than what we originally were going to talk about. He's Scott Fishman from the Channel Guide magazine. You can find him online at channelguidemagblog.com. How's your tan doing today, Scott?
Not as good as it was last week, but it's still there.
You're back from parts unknown. I'm glad.
Well, it's probably a good thing that I'm back, because it seems whenever I leave for a long period of time, bad things happen.
I know you go on a cruise and you come back from your enjoyment, and things just start happening. I guess everything was on hold until you came back, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I couldn't, but like the one moment I had Wi-Fi signal, I see like a headline: Seth Rollins injured, out 6 to 8 months, and he's no longer WWE World Champion. And I'm like, oh my god! Like, and then and then I have to go back on the boat, and then let that simmer in my head for like days.
That's the way it works, man. That's the way the wrestling business is. But now that you're back, there's a lot of other things that are going on. So let's get, talking about what's going on today. We were originally going to talk a lot more about like Survivor Series and some different things, and we can hit on that stuff a little bit. But the biggest news today is that we were wondering what was going to happen with TNA Wrestling. Could they find another home here in the United States? There was talk that they were speaking with WGN America and with Pop TV, and today they announced they have a new deal with Pop TV. So that will be starting on January 5th. They'll be on Tuesday nights. They're going to be on at 9 p.m. Eastern, so they keep the same time slot. They just moved to a different night in a new network. And, we were wondering if they were going to be able to find a deal here in the United States. And even though this is their fourth home and it'll be their third one in the last year, give TNA credit that they found another home. You could sit here and question Pop TV as a network, but they're staying on TV here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think that's, their perseverance, that you can't, say what you want about TNA, but they're always finding, new ways to stay, in the scene. I mean, I'm happy about this move from Destination America. I mean, I think it's a better fit for them. Just the way that, looking at what Pop is, I mean, talk about, it put the spotlight on, I guess, fans, quote, the fandom of different, genres, different platforms of entertainment. So I think professional wrestling fits in there, and then they've already had professional wrestling already on their network. So I think that also, shows that they are an interest in growing that. I don't know if they use the Paragon or not, but definitely maybe testing the waters a bit to see if they're, what kind of interest they would get with, I guess, professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know how long this, this has been in the works for. I know that we heard that Dixie was in Los Angeles, for meetings and stuff. So I don't know how far back this goes, but, there was talk about WGN also, which would also have been better than Destination America.
Right.
So I guess that didn't pan out, or Pop TV was more of an attractive deal. But then there's the question of, you mentioned, we talked about this before we went on, is, where is this first taping going to take place, this live taping? Now it's on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays, and there's a lot of competition on Tuesday nights. So that's going to be challenging. And,
well, I think Tuesday night's a better night, because if they were going to stay on, Friday night, we know, is not a good night. They've done some pretty good numbers in the past on Friday, but it's not ideal. Thursday night, you'd be going up against SmackDown for at least part of the show, if not the entire show. And SmackDown's going to be on a bigger channel come next year in USA Network. So Tuesday night, I think, fits the bill a lot better.
Yes, but at the same time, there's so much television on Tuesday nights.
What shows Thursday are they going up against, though? There's a Monday night's a loaded night. Thursday night, used to be must-see TV, and it's still a pretty big night when you look at, especially the CBS lineup, and then in the fall you're going up against the NFL, whether it's on CBS or it's on, you know, the NFL Network.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing that WWE, TNA has to hopefully it's a long-term deal. It doesn't go beyond, because everyone's now already like, okay, Destination America, they weren't even there like a year or so, and then they're now moving networks again.
Yeah.
It's like, they've also, just keep in mind, between that whole time, they were moving days and everything was being shuffled around, and that was a problem. It's always been a problem, it seems, with like TNA now recently, is being able to stay on one network, being able to stay at one time, one day, where everyone, where all the fans know where to find you. I mean, that's going to be just the consistency of it all, is people have viewing habits, and if you keep changing them, you know, they're not going to want to fight, you know, to find you anymore.
Right, and that's why, you know, you have to throw the numbers kind of out the window. And I know it's tough because everything is ratings based, but for at least the first 6 months, I would think you got to sit there and say, you know, you're going to be on this night. You're going to be on this time. We're not going to preempt you. You're going to be on every week, you know, and we're going to try to build this. And it's going to take 6 to 9 months at least to do that, you know, to then you can really start taking a hard look at the numbers. And like you said, I don't know how long this deal is, you know. There might be outs in it, like there wasn't a Destination America deal, because if you remember, that deal was a multi-year deal, but obviously they had an out, and they exercised that out, and, you know, we've known that they were going to be leaving Destination America since the report came out in May. We just weren't sure.
Man, that's been the problem. It's like it's been a dark cloud over their head ever since then. I mean, it just gives this perception of, oh, God, it's like doom and gloom of, like, you know, something's going to be ending.
Right.
I think that was a problem, too.
And it was something that, you know, they didn't want to admit, and I can understand that, but, you know, that they had that hanging over there, and you're wondering, are they going to find another home? I think WGN, you know, obviously it has a bigger name, so that probably would have been the best option. But, you know, this isn't a great option with Pop TV as it stands right now, but there could be worse options, and that would probably be staying on Destination America, because that deal seemed to fall apart from the beginning, from all the different things they're hoping to get out of Discovery and all the extra programming that they got that was canceled within the first few months. And like you said, moving them around different nights. And the weird thing was they got moved from Friday night to, you know, Wednesday night, which you thought was going to be a better night. And it turned out to not be. And that's because they're just getting jerked around. You know, I'm sure they weren't too thrilled about the decision to have Ring of Honor, you know, be brought to the network as well, even though Destination America never promoted it, and it was a different kind of a deal. But, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on there. And I always thought, even, too, when, you know, TNA obviously needed to find a television deal, but when it came to Destination America and you look at, you know, their target audience and the programming that they already had on there, it just didn't seem like a good fit. We'll see if this is a better fit. I think that Pop TV is definitely for a broader and younger audience. We'll see what happens here. The best thing for TNA is that even though a lot of people don't watch Pop TV, a lot more people have it than they have Destination America, because Pop's in like 80 million homes. Destination America is in about 57 million homes. So, you know, they reach a larger audience. It's just a lot of people don't watch the channel and now just have to find it. Like for me, I have DirecTV. I know where it is now. I knew I had it. The thing that I don't like about it is it's not in HD.
Yeah, I think mine isn't either. I think mine's on like a basic cable, or sort of kind of basic cable, because it's not one of the HD channels. But
yeah,
I mean, that's a small problem to have for me. I mean, as long as I get it, like for example with Ring of Honor, I'm not going to be able to get Ring of Honor anymore as far as on television.
Right, you have to watch it online.
It's a new network, Comet, and then I don't actually have that network because it's such a new network. I don't know if you have it, but
I don't. I mean, with DirecTV, I do not have it. But I mean, Ring of Honor is going to stream their shows online,
right?
So you can watch it there, but still, you'd like to be able to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not one of the guys. I don't like watching things on my computer. That's my thing. Like when there was like internet pay-per-view things, I always found a way to actually connect it to my television or try to connect it to my television, because I don't know. Just my viewing habits aren't like, I don't like to watch things on my laptop. Like,
oh, I agree. You know, and
phone.
I know that there's a lot of people that do, and that's obviously where programming has to be, you know, pointed to. But I'm with you, man. If I can watch it on my TV, that's where I want to watch it. And you know, anytime I watch WWE Network, like if I'm at work, you know, I'll watch it on my laptop then, but you know, I'd much prefer to be at home and, you know, put it on my TV.
Right. And one thing we didn't touch on with the TV deal is who is actually signed and, you know, now they have to commit some talent.
Right.
Once again, like they have, I don't know who's signed and who's not signed. No. And they mentioned a lot of names in the press release, and some of them I'm like wondering, I'm like, are they going to be really there for the long haul, or is this,
right? Because I mean, the people,
initial launch.
You know, they named Kurt Angle, which he's not going to be there. Because Kurt's done with the company come January. And he's already said that in other interviews. Jeff and Matt Hardy. And I believe Jeff's deal is up early in 2016. But we'll see if he stays. And he's still got to get healthy. EC3, Bobby Lashley, The Wolves, Eric Young, Tigre Uno, and Gail Kim. I mean, they need some more talent. It's nothing against those guys, but they need another name, probably. And they definitely need some more talent. You know, and I know some of those guys aren't going to be the biggest names, but maybe you have to use this forum to just try to build them into names. I mean, I guess that's why they've had a conversation with Goldberg, which you had the interview with him earlier this week. And he said, hey, you know, I talked to TNA Wrestling and I don't know if there's a deal to be made, but maybe we're talking.
I mean, you can't blame TNA for trying, especially I think it was clever of them because they saw Bram was on, in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's a good tie-in for the movie, but that movie doesn't come out until May. So, and he brought up the point of, you know, there's a difference between, you know, doing something as far as to promote a movie and to have Goldberg in a wrestling ring.
Right.
Because I'm sure that's going to be very costly.
But here's the question that I have, though, okay? They only have so much money to spend, and
right,
they have to spend it as smart as they can. And it's nothing against Bill or any other, you know, big names from the past. But are they worth the amount of money it would take to get them in there, even for a limited basis, compared to the, you know, the amount of attention they could get off that person? I mean, yes, there could be a buzz, but is that really going to translate into a rating? Is it going to translate to more people watching your programming and then you hopefully hooking them onto your program and they keep watching again and again, even when that person is gone? And that is the big question. You know, I understand you need to have some name recognition when it comes to talent on your roster, but I don't know if somebody like a Goldberg, because, I mean, that's a pricey ticket, and I don't know if he's going to be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it in the past where you bring names in and you hope that gets the, you know, people to watch the show. But I think people watch the show if you give them a reason to watch the show.
Sure.
And if you're having good matches. And I think what they're doing now in the focus on wrestling, even though these, you know, this is taped far in advance and everything like that, but the tournament has featured some good matches and is spotlighted, much like, you know, the WWE in a way, their tournament, their WWE world title tournament. This tournament has spotlighted a lot of, you know, their young guys, and, you know, it's just about developing compelling storylines now, you know, instead of the, but now, I mean, I think it's the tapings couldn't happen at a better time because they had all these matches, and they had to have a reason to have all these matches, but there was no other storyline aside from this being a world title series, so,
yeah,
you know, it spanned the whole roster, which was actually kind of smart because now it doesn't seem like, oh, okay, now they have no storylines, they're just having, you know, matches, but every match has meant something because you get points and things like that.
Well, they're redoing the finals of this tournament, too. Like, they had the whole tournament in the can.
Oh, they actually had the final in the can.
They have everything in the can, but now it looks like they're scrapping. Like, they're going to redo the semifinals and the finals. Like, they're going to reshoot that.
Okay.
And I think that's what they're going to do on that January 5th live special, is they'll do probably the last two rounds.
Yeah, to crown a new champion on their new network. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that's why I say, like, you could spend the money on a Bill Goldberg, and that's immensely costly, or whoever else is a big ticket item that's out there. I mean, I don't even know who would be available. I mean, the only other person I could really think of is Kevin Nash, and I don't know how valuable that would be. But to me, I would focus on, let's put on the best show we can. Let's bring in some really good, young, exciting talent that will get people talking at least online and try to get that audience to start watching the show on a regular basis. And let's build from there, because that talent's going to be cheaper to get. And let's just focus on, let's put together a good wrestling show with some guys that, you know, are going to go out there and bust their humps. They're going to be appreciative of getting, you know, on this kind of audience, getting in, you know, some TV exposure, and guys that we can afford. And let's go from there. Once we can build that foundation, you know, then maybe we can, you know, do some other stuff. But, you know, let's get the best talent that we can get right now that's not going to, you know, be too costly, and let's just try to put on a good show every week.
Yeah, I mean, they have to do that to find an audience, but also just everyone has bad taste in their mouth, those that haven't watched the product in a long time, and they've just been burned so many times that, you know, they're like, why should I give TNA a chance again, like,
right,
for the long term?
Can they stop calling themselves
the
TNA?
Challenge.
Can they just call themselves Impact Wrestling? I mean,
yeah, I get confused, so I put TNA Impact Wrestling.
I mean, I guess the company is TNA.
Get all my bases covered.
Yeah, the company is TNA Wrestling, but the TV show is Impact Wrestling. I'm like, just can we give up on the TNA name already? Because it's so damn confusing. Just call it
they
Impact
refer
Wrestling.
To them, but then they refer to themselves as Impact Wrestling.
Well,
but then it's the TNA Heavyweight Championship.
Exactly.
So I think that's you don't want to confuse, you know, from a marketing standpoint, you're confusing, you know, your audience.
Everybody is confused about this. Pick a name and go with it. I mean, the TNA name has been dumb since it started. And I understand the whole thing of having the three letters for your championships, and that's what wrestling has always done, except for some goofy indies that are out there. But just go with the Impact Wrestling thing and just leave it at that.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Exactly. And then if you want to call your show something, called Impact Wrestling Loaded or whatever the hell you want to call it, you know, Kaboom. I don't care. you know, just do something, man. We had Explosion before, but now it's bigger than ever. It's Impact Wrestling Kaboom.
I don't know. Now I think they've used every single kind of like word to describe, or in wrestling, that's to describe Explosion.
No. There's more, because you can go back to the 1960s Batman show and just start using different things that they had written for sound effects, like the pow and the kaplam and all that stuff.
And yeah, it's Impact Wrestling Splat. I don't think you're going to use splat, though. I think
probably
we'll
not.
Leave that out.
Well, because people will say yes, splat, because you're falling on your face. You know, I mean, there's just way too many things you can make jokes there with, but yeah.
But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Like, if you're especially with this new network, and now is the perfect time to kind of ditch the TNA name, you know?
Right. So let me ask you this: do you think, with all the different questions that have gone on over the past year with TNA talent, their partnership with Destination America, do you think that Dixie Carter will be doing interviews to promote the television move?
I mean, I don't know if she just did one, but I think maybe I could see her doing one as far as, you know, or Jeremy Borash or something like that, or one of the mainstream, you know, outlets.
Right.
That's a possibility. I mean,
I wonder if those questions are going to be asked. Like,
that's the thing. Like, you don't know all the details. So maybe they're going to. I mean, today's the first day. Today's the initial announcement. So I'm sure as time goes on, we'll find out more about it.
I mean, if somebody gets that interview, you've got to ask her about the reported leaked email, right?
I mean, it's out there. I mean,
exactly.
She doesn't have to talk about it, or someone doesn't have to talk about it.
You've got to ask, like, when
it is out there. I mean, there is talk about it, so
yeah,
this could be her way of finally clearing the air.
Sure, address it head on. Address when did you know from Destination America that they were not going to be renewing the contract? You know, because they were. You know, I understand that they got to deny. You know, or just say, you know what, we're still on their TV. We've got a partnership here. You know, it's like a non-denial, you know, but I understand that's part of business. But yeah, I'm going to be curious to see if she does press and if that gets asked and addressed.
Well, that also I don't know. I guess it depends who you ask, but I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. That she did say that they were going to be on that network until February of next year.
Well, she had said, I thought it said February, in the Sports Illustrated interview. But, I mean, you know, that's not the case. I mean, they're done with Destination America come the end of November, December.
Something changed, or that was just an extension if they couldn't, you know, find something by then or a certain amount of time. But this could have been something that happened like pretty quickly, and then they haven't, you know, and then the details will come out after. They just wanted to let people know that yes, they do have a TV deal, right? And I mean, I don't know when the roster found out, but it's, you know, it's good news for the guys that are still around, especially during the holidays, because they know in 2016 they're going to have a place to work. So that's a great feeling for them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be curious to see what the terms of this deal are from a standpoint of. Without, you know, not necessarily knowing the exacts, even though I'd like to know, is Pop paying them for the TV slot? Is it, if they are getting paid, is it less than what they're getting from Destination America? And if they're not getting paid for it, is it something where TNA is buying the slot, but they own all the advertising time? Or is it like a barter deal where they get the slot for free and then both sides split the ad time? Because that's a tough deal if you are depending on generating revenue from ad time with professional wrestling because, I mean, selling and getting advertising for wrestling and getting sponsors, that's already extremely tough, which we've seen even for WWE. But it makes it even more than doubly tough, probably like 10 times as hard if you're not WWE because there's so many different businesses that are out there that say, well, I don't want to be associated with wrestling, and then if I am, there's only one brand, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's getting the advertisers on board, getting everybody on board to support. Yeah, you're right about that. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that's going to be a tough
deal.
We'll
see what kind of advertising they're going to bringing in. Or, I mean, I'm sure Pop is happy with already the buzz that kind of they created because you look on their social media and it's like everywhere now. And
sure.
I'm sure they're excited about that. Which Destination America, I'm sure, was initially too because there was always that initial honeymoon phase, I guess there was. I don't know what kind of. I mean, I would have loved to talk to someone from Destination America. Just like what were they expecting? Like what
right.
changed or like what you didn't see coming? Because I feel like it got off on a good start, and then all of a sudden they just gave up on it. It seemed
well. I'm curious.
Quickly.
Yeah.
I guess you could say the email or whatever rumors or whatever happened. But if they're going to let that get in the way of business, I don't know if that's smart.
Well,
you invested this month. You know, you invested in having this show on your network. Why wouldn't you do everything in your power up until this point to make it successful?
Right, and I think maybe what they didn't realize was the whole thing when it came to advertising, because they found out some of the people that were advertisers on their station, they thought, okay, you're going to jump over because TNA, even though it's not doing the ratings that once did with Spike, it's still going to do a better rating than any other show that we've had here on the network. But there's other clients that just said, no, we don't want to advertise on a wrestling show. And then when they tried to find other ones, it was difficult. And I don't think Destination America realized that. And the other thing I'd be curious about is, remember TNA, when they made this deal, it wasn't just Destination America. This is a Discovery deal. And they were talking about the global reach of Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be curious to know what were the expectations and the plans from the Discovery Destination America side of things.
Yeah, what were they promised? Also what TNA was promised. And I mean, it's crazy that this network had these two wrestling shows and they were probably among their highest rated shows, you know, consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they still, you know, they're just dropping them because, you know, I guess, you know, advertising or whatever reason, whatever the reason may be.
Hey man, we all got to be watching that Bigfoot show. And
yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather support Pit Master, you know, Barbecue Pit Masters every week.
Hell yeah, Building Alaska.
Live Exorcism show.
Ghost Asylum? Come on, man. These are huge shows out there, buddy.
And they whatever show, insert Alaska.
Exactly. You know what, though? I admitted this before. I watched Destination America before TNA got on there because.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Yeah. Well, my wife likes.
I did watch a couple episodes of something of that Alaska show.
Yeah, that's exactly it. My wife liked watching that, so sometimes like they would be running like a marathon or something, and she'd turn it on for an episode or two, and then I've left it on and I've watched like the Barbecue Pitmaster show before, but it's not like something where I went out of my way going, well, I got to tune in, you know, got to get my barbecue show going here tonight, you know. So it's just one of those where you flip it around.
Don't see like how an advertiser would be. That's already contributing to a show like this would be like, oh, I don't want anything part of professional wrestling.
Oh,
you
know.
That's too lowbrow for me.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I can't see that being the case, though.
Well, when they made this deal, and I talked to Dixie in January, and I asked her, like, why do you think this is a good fit? You know, and I don't think they had any other options at the time for TV. But she said, well, because I brought up those two shows, like, you know, Building Alaska or whatever it's called, and Barbecue Pitmasters. And she goes, well, those shows are, you know, like Americana. And that's exactly what we are. We're a piece of Americana, which is straight out of like the Vince McMahon playbook. We're Americana. Ha! You know, and
well, that's the way to spin it. I mean, that's
right.
The
and that's the way to spin it, I guess. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, we're really not a fit, but we got to try to say something here. So
that's what I think. That's why I think this is more of a natural fit, because this is entertain. This is a show. This is a channel about entertainment. It's about pop culture. It's about, you know, celebrities.
And there are more homes. I mean, you might not know that you have the channel, and you do, but they have a bigger reach. I mean, they're in, you know, about 23 million more homes than Destination America.
Yeah, and when you search that night, when you search Impact Wrestling or whatever it's going to be under, I mean, you'll find it.
Kaplam. TNA Impact Wrestling, Kaplam.
You got to trademark that now before they take it from you.
Hey, man, I'm the one that came up with Explosion, and I didn't get any credit for that.
But did you spell it as with an X, or did you spell it with an EX?
I won't divulge the person that I talked to about that when there was several of us that were asked, like, hey, do you have an idea for a name of our show? And I was just spitballing names. Like, I go, I'm just going to throw out a couple different things here. And we're doing it online. Like, this is like AOL Instant Messenger. And I spit out like four or five things, and one of them was Explosion. And he goes, ooh, I like it. Let's just take off the E and start it with the X. And that was the name of the show, Explosion.
So you were the man behind Explosion.
I was. I got
and
no
what'd
credit
you get for,
that.
For it.
I didn't even get a thank you.
Hey, whoever saw that probably took credit for it.
Well, you got to remember, though, man, for I'm also the person that came up with the nickname Canadian Enforcer. And I didn't get any credit for that either.
Well, now everyone knows. So
I've said it before. I came up with that. That's because I was talking to Bobby, you know, before a show one time. I was like doing an interview, and we were talking about like influences from, you know, when he was, you know, younger. And he was just like, you know, oh, Kurt Hennig and blah, 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 you know. And I said, man, I go, to me, you're like a modern day version of Arn Anderson. And he was like, oh, really? And like thought about that. And I didn't realize this, but earlier in the day, he had been asked, like, try to think of a nickname. And I guess after we did our interview, he went to whoever in creative and said, I got a nickname. How about we go with the Enforcer? And at the time, that's when they were doing the whole Canadian stable. So they go, yeah, the Canadian Enforcer. And boom, there it was.
Well, I heard a rumor. I don't know. You can confirm this. Ooh. That Vince McMahon didn't come up with, you know, WrestleMania is not his idea. It's actually your idea.
I can neither confirm nor deny, because I was 10 years old at the time, but it sounds like something
you
I would have came up with.
You saw him on the street, and you were like, you know, it would be awesome if you had, like, this show.
Yeah.
That was, like, transcended professional wrestling, and it was called WrestleMania.
I know. Like, there have been some different ideas that, storyline ideas, that I'm convinced, that Vince McMahon and company have borrowed from listening to this podcast, or even Between the Ropes when it was on the radio for years, whether it came from me or from, you know, my buddy Dickerman. You know, I mean, there were definitely a couple of times when we spit out some ideas on the air, and what do you know, the following week on Raw, there it was.
Well, you never know who's listening. You never know who's reading.
Yeah. By the way, everybody, I'm saying this stuff in jest. Yes, I really did come up with the Explosion name. I don't care that I got credit for it or not. Okay. It was just one of those things that happened. And sometimes we throw out some different ideas for what we want to see for booking. Sometimes it happens. And if it does, awesome. You know, and I don't know if they got it from us or they're just on the same wavelength, because there's so many different times where people say, oh, they stole that from a place. And it's like, well, maybe they were just thinking like you are, because you've been following the product for a long time and you had the same idea. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just been timing, and they
right.
just. Yeah.
I mean, but if they ever want to say, hey, we got that idea from you, and here's a nice little check for that great idea you had, I'm up for that check. You know, I'll be more than happy to take it. Mm-hmm. So speaking of TNA, so we've already seen James Storm pop up in NXT, even though I guess he doesn't have a contract yet, but he's appeared, obviously, and he might have a contract. or you might have one soon. But now comes word, NXT is doing their next set of TV tapings tonight, right around the corner from me at Full Sail. And guess who's there? Austin Aries is there, and Gunner is there.
Yeah, I mean, more TNA guys, I guess. It's just, you know, what a different time and place we live in now in the wrestling business where, you know, this would be unheard of years ago. But, you know, with NXT, it's giving an opportunity to seeing things that we thought we'd never have, you know, we would never see. It's happening. So I think, I mean, it's an awesome time. I mean, those are two talented guys, and I don't know if they're going to be on the shows or...
Maybe they're just backstage. We don't know. Yeah, but they're there.
They could just be visiting with James Storm backstage, but... I mean, do they live in Orlando? I definitely don't think Gunner does. And I'm pretty sure Austin Aries doesn't live in Orlando normally. So
right, as far as I know, he
just fly in to see the show. I don't know.
That's the whole thing. If they don't live here, then yeah, they're going to be on the show. Or they're always talking deal. But, I mean, look at Aries' tweet. It says, it's a great day to be hashtag great. It's a great day to be hashtag grateful. So to me, that sounds like he's going to be on NXT, okay?
Yeah, and then, I mean, and I know you spoke to Gunner as well, but I spoke to Gunner, too, when his movie was coming out, the Navy SEALs one. And he said, basically, that he was, you know, leaning towards the WWE, and he was talking with them.
Right.
So.
He's a great guy.
I mean, I guess that depends on who you talk to when you hear about that story with the fan. But, yeah, I mean, he seemed like a cool guy talking
to I don't know what what happened there, but, I mean, just as somebody to shoot the breeze with or whatever and get to talk to about that movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was a lot of fun, yeah.
He was fantastic. Yeah. Hopefully that the fan story got, you know, that didn't happen or it was just like a one-time occurrence. I don't.
Well, it seems that way. I mean, I don't hear about Gunner kicking fans in the face and beating people up, you know,
right.
Recently.
Maybe that was one of those where it got blown out of proportion or it's, you know, he was just having a bad day and something happened, which there's no excuse for that, but hopefully it was just a one-time, you know, thing. So, yeah.
But, I mean, he has a look that WWE would like, so.
Right.
And in Austin Aries, many times before we thought about him in WWE, but, you know, I guess now is the timing would be right with them wanting to tour more next year. And, you know, you have guys like Samoa Joe and Finn Balor and all these guys that he would fit in perfectly with work rate wise.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think it's though you got to be careful because you don't want to bring in too many of these names because then you get this perception then at times, I think.
Well, I don't know if that's overly bad from a standpoint that if it's the guys that can really go, whether they come from TNA or, say, Ring of Honor, it's, you know, that have a bit of a following online. They can definitely wrestle. And you put them on the show because I've always been convinced that guys that have come through TNA or Ring of Honor are being hired to stay in NXT. Never say never. They could be called up to the main roster. But I don't think that's the plan. I think they're there to help build the brand of NXT. And when they start touring more, which... they're doing more now, but I think they're really going to pick it up next year. And, you know, so I don't think it's a problem with that because there's so many different people out there that watch NXT. Okay, that's a much smaller audience than watches Raw, obviously. But even when it comes to people that are watching NXT, they might not know of these guys or have only heard bits and pieces or seen them limited amounts when it comes to TNA or Ring of Honor because they might be like, hey, you know what? I've always been a WWE fan. Now they've got this NXT thing. It's hot. They start watching that, and then they start finding out about these other guys because they just didn't follow anything that wasn't WWE related. So, hell, even a guy like Samoa Joe might have been, like, really new to them, you know, and saying, whoa, look at this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they see a following, I mean, if there's money to be made, I think they would be stupid not to call them up. And
right.
But, I mean, it's not a bad place to be right now, NXT, if that's all you're going to do. I mean, you go all around, you know, you're going to be starting the tour now. I mean, I don't know how these deals are structured, but even if you aren't a full-time NXT wrestler per se, you know, the exposure on the WWE network, well, I'm sure will help you get even more independent gigs and maybe even up your value a little bit with the added exposure. So it's not a bad thing to be associated with this brand right now. That's just an example of having good word of mouth and putting on great shows, and people are so accustomed to watching the shows. I mean, it's something that, you know, TNA at one point was at that point where people were watching it. I think it was around 2006 or so.
Yeah.
2006 or so. I don't know. That's when I feel like they really hit their stride. And
2005, I think, was the year that, because I think 2005 was the year that they really had, like, Daniels and Joe and AJ Styles really cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Unbreakable match. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, just that's just the idea of, I think, of when a company is consistently good, or I guess a brand is consistently good, people will watch and become a devoted follower of that. So I think that's what you're seeing right now, and it's just interesting the fans' perspectives when they see a guy like James Storm or a guy like Austin Aries maybe on WWE television. You know, they came from somewhere. So you're bad-mouthing this company that gave them, you know, platforms and opportunities. And there's a reason why you know who a James Storm is.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to be curious to see who else they go after, because I know that the Wrestling Observer said that, you know, WWE is trying to bring in some more talent, and that includes maybe some talent from Ring of Honor. I'm curious to see who they could possibly get. I know Ring of Honor have been trying to lock up some different guys to contracts, and they might have locked up some guys, but I don't even know if it was like a one-year deal or multiple-year deals. I mean, Roderick Strong, I think, signed a one-year deal. Adam Cole earlier this year signed a deal. I don't know if it was for a year or 2 years.
I could see him definitely going.
Cole was a guy that I think, from everything I understand, they've talked to him, and it's just like, when the time is right and we really want you and you feel like you want to come, there's an open door. You're in. It's just figuring out when that time is. So that
and then
could
you heard talk about Maria Kanellis and
yep.
Bennett.
I definitely think that's something possible, because, I mean, Maria was out there tweeting, you know, kind of throwing out some teases or whatever, and I think their deals are up within the next few months. I don't know.
Jumping back to TNA a little bit, what about Brooke Adams? What do you think about her, WWE re-signing her?
Maybe.
I mean, she has definitely come a long way from her days in Extreme Exposé.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, she's got the look, and she's definitely improved in the ring, so maybe. I could see her, you know. I mean, I could definitely see her in NXT. I mean, even if they didn't put her up on the main roster, I could see her in NXT.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many. I think NXT opens the door for a lot of things, but.
Well, the big one is.
I hope it doesn't, you know, really. When they start really touring, I hope it doesn't really dip into the independent. You know, the companies that are trying locally
right.
to have these shows, and then having NXT be involved, you know, involved.
Well, that's going to be, you know,
that's going to be a weird dynamic there.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, I know that Triple H has definitely mentioned this, but are they still possibly looking to make a deal to bring in some more New Japan talent, even if it's just for big shows? You know, so could we see like a Nakamura or, you know, whoever, you know, on
Okada, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if Okada would. Well, Okada's definitely not going to join WWE, but maybe he would be open to doing a show or two. But, you know, could you make a deal to bring in some of these guys for like big event shows?
I mean, he seems to be someone who has been open to everyone coming. If you have something to contribute, and you see that with guys like James Storm, and whatnot, where, you know, despite having that. You know, the check mark that they were in TNA or wherever that, you know, I don't know, for some reason.
But talent supersedes everything to me.
But.
Talent, I mean, as long as you're not a pain in the ass, talent supersedes everything.
Yep. I mean, that you hope that's the case.
Right.
But it's not always the case.
But that's why they're not going to WWE, and that's why they're going to NXT.
Yeah.
I mean,
it kind of wavers all. Yeah, it's a difference.
It's a totally
sure.
different thing. Remember,
and I think that's what's great about it.
Yeah.
It's a totally different feel, and I think that's what they're aiming for, which is why they're signing all these guys.
Right, and you know, Triple H is the one that's bringing in these guys, and you know, Vince can say like, "That's fine. If you use your budget, if you want to bring them in, bring them in. They're not coming up here, you know, unless Vince is, you know, sitting around one day and just kind of looks over and goes, "Ah, who's that guy? Yeah, bring him up. You know, then maybe." But
I would love to see. I would love to get his opinion on a lot of the NXT guys, like Samoa Joe, or you know.
Right,
like people like that.
That would be.
What he really thinks about that?
Yeah, I'd be curious about that. You know, well, here's the other name that's out there is, you know, AJ Styles, who gets brought up all the time, and you know, now that AJ's, you know, what is he, about 40 years old? I mean, you know, he's said, you know, if it's the right deal and the right time, he's open to it. But I don't know if WWE has talked to him, and I don't know if it's something he's just saying or if he really is interested. It's not like it's something he has to do, but, I mean, if the door is open and they can come to a deal, that would be very interesting to see AJ there.
Yeah, I mean, it's on a much smaller scale, but it kind of has the same feel of a Sting for me with AJ. It's like he's been all over everywhere, and he's been associated with, you know, these companies, but, you know, he's never really gone to WWE and to see what he's become, you know, to see what kind of potential he, you know.
Can't we get AJ versus Finn Balor? Come on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and there's so many matches you can have with them.
Oh, yeah.
With him involved.
I mean, obviously you can go back to some with Joe, but, I mean, even away from that, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff they can do now that they're doing more with Apollo Crews, and, you know, they just want some more guys in there right now, and there's some talent that's available, you know.
And we're almost at WrestleMania season where, you know what happens at WrestleMania season, new guys debut on the main roster usually around that time.
Right afterwards, yeah, typically. So, I mean, well, hell, I mean, Tyler Breeze debuted, that was kind of out of nowhere. I mean, I was wondering, you know, when could they bring Tyler up as he really maximized everything, you know, when it comes to NXT, even though he didn't win the championship there, but, you know, he'd been there for a while, and just like out of nowhere, hey, Tyler Breeze is up on the main roster.
And it was on a SmackDown. I thought that was interesting. Like, I wonder when the decision was made to, like, was it a matter of factly, let's just do it this time, or what happened to make that happen?
You know,
maybe
what?
It's the point of being everyone, you know, all these injuries happening where you're like, okay, maybe we need to call some people up.
I'm not trying to brag. I just got a hot email from WWE. I got an email. Here is your pre-sale for WWE NXT Live in Orlando, Friday, January 22nd, CFE Arena on the campus of UCF. How about that?
Well, was that Royal Rumble?
That's the show before the Rumble. That's the big TV taping they're doing before the Rumble.
Yeah.
Exclusive pre-sale begins on Friday at 10 a.m.
And what's the pre-sale code for people?
It is Kiss My Butt. No, I'm kidding. It's NXT Live.
Oh, my God. It's so original.
I know.
It's not Explosion.
Yeah, it's NXT Live. It says, see Finn Balor, Bayley, Samoa Joe, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, Enzo Amore, and Colin Cassidy, and many more.
Colin Cassidy?
Yes.
Isn't he injured?
I don't know. Is he?
Well,
is it a work or not?
I mean, by then maybe he won't be. But
I don't know if he really was.
Well,
there was some talk that it was a work, but I think he probably really is injured. But I don't know how severe.
Right.
That'll be fun.
I mean, think? I think that's smart. UCF, Orlando, and while they're in Royal Rumble.
Because everybody thought maybe they're going to do another live show, and they're not because it's going to be too close to the London show, but. This is going to be the biggest TV taping they've ever done. They're going to be able to put 7,000 to 8,000 people in that building that Friday.
And they probably will be able to do that, I think.
Oh, yes.
Especially if, you know, with enough promotion of
hey,
it.
I just gave them a big plug right there. That's worth at least a couple of thousand. Okay. Hot news right there, man. Come on.
Yeah, breaking news.
Hey, man, that's why I get those emails, you know.
So people can get the pre-sale. Much like, those pre-sales are important because if you don't do your pre-sale, you know, when it really goes on sale, it's pretty much sold out.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Like the Royal Rumble, that's kind of what happened.
Oh, the Rumble sold out, yeah. Like Mania, all the, if you've really got the bucks for it, all the really, really good seats are gone.
Right, the expensive ones. The
$1,000
travel package,
the $1,000 ringside, the $750 seats right behind it, you know, anything where you can keep your chair, that's all gone.
Wow, and those seats are not cheap.
Have you ever gotten one of those chairs from a show?
No, I there was one time where I was close.
Yeah.
Because I had gone with Jim, and it was Orlando, and I was one row behind them, and then he got the chair, and I didn't get the chair.
What show was that for?
It was Armageddon.
Okay. I got a chair for WrestleMania 24 here in Orlando. It wasn't through WWE. It was through a friend of mine who actually worked in a radio station. They had given away a pair of tickets to on the field. But for whatever reason, the person didn't claim the tickets. So we kept them, right? So, like, there was a group of us, and we kept kind of, like, okay, it's your turn. Go sit down there, you know, kind of thing. We kept switching mm-hmm. out. And at the end of the night, we kept the two chairs. So my friend gave one to his cousin, and he didn't know what to do with the other one. I said, okay, I'll take it. It was WrestleMania 24, okay? If you remember, this show is headlined by Edge against
Undertaker.
You had Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels' retirement match. Would you care to guess who was on the chair?
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather and the Big Show were
yep.
the...
Those are the two people that they focused on, yep.
Yes. That's why I don't have the chair anymore. I gave it away.
And you didn't give it to me.
I did not. I gave it away to somebody when I was moving, and I was doing a huge garage sale that I was trying to sell some of my stuff to, and a guy saw the chair and was so enamored with it, and he was going to buy a bunch of stuff, like bulk. Like he's working, and he was like, okay, I'll buy all of this stuff if you throw in the chair. Because it wasn't someone. It was just like sitting over to the side, and he happened to see it, and I go, okay, I'll give you the chair. Because he was just like a really huge wrestling fan, and I knew he was going to enjoy it more than me. He was just sitting
right.
there collecting
and
dust.
And he got a sale out of it.
Yeah, so it was just
let's be honest here.
I was like,
because of the sale.
Okay, I can sell all this stuff. I can get rid of it, and you're going to enjoy the chair, which I used one time as a joke, okay? And the rest of the time I was sitting there collecting dust. So it's like, okay. If it had Flair and Shawn Michaels on it, I would have kept the chair. Actually, on the back of the chair, on the cushion was Mayweather and Big Show, and then on the back was on the top back it was Edge and Taker, but much smaller.
Yeah, the featured obviously because of Mayweather.
Yeah,
but I can picture that guy. He has like four chairs and are from different events, or and then he has it in his dining room table.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. There was the one that we went to. Was it Mania last year where they had Lesnar on there? Like a big Brock Lesnar? No. Wasn't even that. God, what show was it?
I actually don't remember that.
There was some show last year. We saw chairs, and it had just the biggest head of Brock Lesnar on the chair. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Would you have kept that one?
Oh, yeah. I would have kept Lesnar. Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about Orlando.
Yeah.
Curious, do you think WrestleMania is going there?
Yes.
2017?
2017. I've said this all along, and I'm a big believer in this, and I might be dead wrong. Royal Rumble, Sunday, January 24th. The following night for Raw. Raw is going to be in your neck of the woods in Miami.
Right.
I am convinced that on earlier in that day, WWE will make the announcement that WrestleMania is coming back to Orlando in 2017.
That'd be good for you.
It'd be very good for me. I don't have to
It'd
travel.
Be good for me.
Well, I mean,
4 hours, not bad.
I mean, I do like it that I get to travel to all these cool cities that I've never been to before for Mania, but you know what? I wouldn't have a problem with it being in my backyard either.
Save some money.
Here's the big question that I have, though. Should I make the pilgrimage to Miami for Raw after the Rumble?
Well, you have done that in the past, or you've kind of gone on tour. You've gone up, down,
I did that last year.
Florida.
Yeah, I did it last year. So, I mean,
you're welcome to stay at my
That's what I was looking for.
That's what you're waiting for. Well, me, what if I make the pilgrimage up to Orlando?
Well, you're coming for the Rumble, right?
I mean, hopefully. We'll see
okay.
what happens.
Well, why don't we plan on that? You can be my guest here, and I can be your guest down there for Raw.
Sounds like a fair deal.
All right. I like that. Now, is there a bed involved? Do you have, like, a spare bed?
I have an extra room, yeah.
No, is there a bed in that room, though?
Oh, yeah. There's a bed, and then you'll have, like, a wall of wrestlers, you know, looking at you while you're
okay.
sleeping.
Okay, so this is a done deal. Perfect, because I do not have a spare bed for you. I have a couch or the floor, but... We've already made the deal, so.
Oh, come on! I didn't agree yet.
Yes, you did. Everybody heard it.
Everybody. There was no contract signing.
Everybody heard it, though. That's all that matters. Everybody.
The contract wasn't signed.
I heard it. Everybody heard it out there. let me bring up a couple other things. So WWE made it official. So we talk about NXT. They've also signed La Sombra from CMLL fame. And he's now coming in. Also from, he was at New Japan for a little while. So this was like he just, you know, lost his mask not too long ago. It wasn't really a big secret. He couldn't tell anybody, but yeah, they brought La Sombra. So I mean, the you know, their search for, you know, a Mexican star continues, and they've got him, and we'll see exactly, you know, his voyage through NXT and how long until they bring him up to the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, you see them kind of experimenting a little bit with a Kalisto,
yeah,
in that world title tournament. I think
that poor guy, man, that dude almost he lost his mask there for a split second. Oh my God!
I can imagine the conversation after when they got to the back. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
Dude, Del Rio can't be upset if Kalisto went off on him back there, going, "What the hell?"
No, yeah, he had every right to.
Oh my God, that was
like,
bad.
What were you doing? Like live? I mean, if it was a live event, it would still be bad. But this is live television with cameras on you and everyone watching.
I felt so bad for that dude, man. Like, Del Rio just kind of grabbed him and didn't realize it was that easy to pull it off. And next thing you know, man, he had that thing off, and then he awkwardly had to put it back on. And it's like, oh my God.
I think maybe he's going to make some adjustments to keeping, you know, ways to keep the mask on again, I guess.
You won't have to worry about doing that to La Sombra because he doesn't have the mask.
Has the mask anymore, right?
Yeah, they even sent out the picture today in the press release of him, you know, being at the Performance Center.
But I think you would think WWE would want another masked guy just because they could sell the masks at the merchandise tables.
Well, you know what? Maybe they are going to do something more with Kalisto, and that's the mask then, you know?
Maybe. And they have a built-in story, though, with Del Rio.
Right. Well, the other thing is, too, even though he doesn't necessarily wear a mask, but you've got some merch to sell similar to that when it comes to Finn Balor, when that time comes that they bring him up.
Right.
So, yeah. And by the way,
there's always money. I was surprised that WCW, that was kind of missing the boat big time.
Oh, yeah.
You had all those luchadors. You could have sold so many masks at live events.
And by the way, Del Rio, he's going to have to change his finisher when they bring up Balor, isn't he? They got him doing the double stomp in the corner?
Yeah, I wonder how that came about. Like,
that's weird.
He seems to be using it more and more now.
Totally strange to me. Totally strange. So, since we were going to talk about Survivor Series here in the final few minutes, let's talk a little bit about that. So, I've talked about it on other podcasts here. What?
Yeah, you've been on tour, it seems.
Oh, it was weird how that all happened. Like, I was doing my own podcast, and then couple other people were like, hey, man, are you available? You want to talk? I was like, okay, I'm reiterating myself, but, you know, that's fine. I like that, different outlets. So what do you see happening when it comes to the tournament at Survivor Series?
It's the way they're building it, the promotion of it. It seems like they're going with Roman Reigns pretty easily, but now there's talk of, you know, them pushing Dean Ambrose. So it seems we're probably going to get a Dean Ambrose Roman Reigns final one way or another. It's just a question of who's going to walk out. I mean, it's really predictable if it, you know, Roman Reigns wins, but I mean, is that a bad thing? I don't know.
If he wins, is there going to be a turn?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, everyone was talking about Dean Ambrose turning, but it's more natural for a Roman Reigns to, because
he
gets those reactions, and why not embrace them, you know? And finally go off on the people. Like, I know you didn't support me through WrestleMania and blah, blah, blah. And it kind of like, you know, even with Triple H, you know, that could have been all for show with him, you know, declining him when his offer was made. So I have a feeling we're going to see something go on with the authority as far as Triple H involvement or something of that nature. And then you can have, you know, Seth Rollins come back and be like, whoever is with the authority and be like, hey, listen, I was the guy, you know, or you turned, and it's this whole big thing. So you have a built-in rivalry when Seth Rollins comes back. But I don't see how Dean Ambrose would be turning heel, because I feel fans would still be cheering this guy no matter what.
Well,
so if they're going to turn somebody, I think it's Roman Reigns, easy.
Well, that's the guy that I would, to me, makes a lot more sense to turn, because there's so many different options you can do. And like you said, there's the natural thing that people want to boo him. And then on top of that, the feuds that come out of that, because you've already got something set up then with Dean Ambrose, because I expect that to be the finals. And then you've got something set up with Cesaro already. And then you've got something set up with Lesnar, potentially, if they want to go that route. They've got something set up with Rollins when he comes back. So to me, there's just a lot of other avenues. It's just, I don't think they want to turn Roman heel. I think they've got a plan for him. They want to play it out, right or wrong. This is just what they think they should do. I think they still want to do WrestleMania, passing the baton, passing the torch of a Roman Reigns John Cena match. And, you know, if they do something where they turn one of the guys and it's Ambrose, I think that's a mistake because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, for sure. And the idea of I didn't even hear about that Cena versus Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania. I thought it was maybe going to be Undertaker and Cena. That's what I thought.
I thought so too. But there's been some talk lately of Cena and Reigns, which to me just okay. I understand it from a name standpoint of having Cena there. But here's the issue that I have with that, okay, that I think when you really kind of break it down. So that means Roman Reigns is going to win the championship at Survivor Series one way or the other, whether he turns or not. And John Cena is going to win the Royal Rumble unless they do the whole thing where somebody else wins it and Cena takes the spot from him, you know, in February at that show, which really devalues the Rumble match.
The Rumble, yeah, I always hate that.
Right, or Reigns wins the Rumble, which we all know how that's gone, and Cena is the champion going into Mania. So, either way, man, that's a
You're
tricky proposition.
You're talking about two polarizing figures in the same match? I don't think that's a good thing.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's why I think I still like the idea of if you want to do Cena and Taker, fine, but I still think it should be Reigns against Lesnar. And I know they did it last year, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I think you're right as far as that. I mean, it's a built-in story right there, and you have a strong baby face in Brock Lesnar that people want to cheer versus someone who, like Roman Reigns, it'll be a whole different type of scenario, which I think will make it more, which will make it interesting this time around. Because, yeah, it's the same match, but it kind of has a different feel from what it was last year. So, and I think that would make it interesting seeing those two face each other again.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. We'll find out here soon.
And then also, I mean, you mentioned, guys he can work with, but even down the line, whenever he's available, if he's ever available, you have The Rock also coming out, whether it's in a wrestling role or a non-wrestling role, basically coming out being like, hey, what are you doing joining the Authority, blah, 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 basically, and turning your back on your family. And then Roman Reigns just, like, attacks The Rock or, like, just gives him a cheap shot.
Right.
That would solidify him as an ultimate heel, I think.
I'm still convinced when it comes to Survivor Series that it's going to come down to Ambrose and Reigns. And then late in the match, there's going to be a ref bump. And Triple H is going to come out and he's going to throw the chair in the middle of the ring. And you're wondering who's going to grab it, who's going to use it.
And then you're going to see Roman pick the chair up and decide,
I'm not going to use it.
And then he's just going to do it.
Or
that's what I think.
Or he throws the chair down and he's like, I'm not going to, Ambrose looks at him and he's got the chair and they go, I'm not going to do it. And they put the chair down. And then Ambrose picks up the chair and wallops him. Something along those lines.
And then you think in the backdrop of all of this, Chris Jericho, he planted the seeds of a rivalry with Dean Ambrose,
right? And
or even Roman Reigns. So
that's why if you turn Reigns heel, it keeps Ambrose in the position that he's in, and you could still go ahead with the match. I think they want to do is Jericho against Ambrose at Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it fits into place.
I definitely don't
see Ambrose turning. It's just a question of if they're going to turn Roman Reigns or not.
To me, it doesn't seem like a fit for Ambrose to turn, especially if they want to put him with the Authority. That would be bad. You can turn
it reminds
him.
Me of the whole thing with Austin turning.
Oh, it doesn't
fit the persona.
Exactly. That's the same old thing. Can you imagine seeing, not that he would, but could you imagine seeing Dean Ambrose in a suit?
I was going to say, that's the only way. Ugh. He'll be so uncomfortable, and he'll look uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, because, you got to get a haircut, wearing a suit. No way. There's no way he would do that, or would want to do it, at least. So
he's better on the opposite side of the Authority, because that's what he does. He's his own man. He goes to the beat of his own drum, so
right.
Doing that would go against everything,
Yeah.
Maybe done like one day where it fits, but now especially is not the time to do that.
Last thing, since I've talked about this before, I'll give you a couple minutes. Knowing everything that we know about the situation or believe we know about it now, what's your thoughts looking back on it a few days from when it happened of the angle between Charlotte and Paige at Raw?
Well, definitely got people talking and controversial, and it's all, when the reality is blurred. The lines of reality are blurred. That's, you know, that's when you know you have something. Kind of was out of place a little bit, I mean, a lot, but at the same time, if it was okay with, I don't know what happened backstage. I don't know if it was her idea. I don't know if they brought it up to her and then she approved it. But if it's okay with her, then, you know, should we be offended by it? I mean, it's her family. I mean,
right.
But at the same time, if Ric Flair didn't know about it, like, they didn't have the decency or the courtesy, not even, you know, Charlotte or whoever, didn't have the courtesy or someone in the company to tell him in advance something that heavy, I think that was a mistake, and, you know, so...
Right, and
that's
plus,
the one thing, no matter what side of the fence you're on, I mean, I think it was a wrong move not to let him know, embrace him before it actually happened, whether he agreed with it or not, but you kind of want to get his blessing, you know, you would want to get his blessing. I mean, could it have been, you know, would it have been talked about days later if that wasn't thrown in there? I'm not so sure. So, I mean, but it's happened, it's out there, and all you could do is move from it, and I guess, you know, it's professional wrestling, so, I mean, mistake or not, they can use this to have the best match possible and have, you know, have the fans emotionally invested, you know, because now you're, you know, you really feel for Charlotte for what Paige said, so that was there, and it'll just be interesting to see what kind of response Charlotte gets now after, you know, what happened on Monday and knowing everything and letting it kind of like simmer over time now, because, you know, a couple days will make a difference. And, you know, with Ric Flair and in attendance, I think he is going to be in attendance. I wonder if, you know, he's going to play a role or he's going to come out. And, I mean, you have to have that payoff, you know, after all that. I mean, if she's going to bring up her family and things like that, you don't, you know, for her to lose on Sunday, it would be horrible. So I think something's going to be done with Charlotte, and that's going to be the payoff. So I guess it's just the one thing that bothers me the most is if it didn't happen, is why wouldn't they tell Ric Flair? That's kind of a big oversight.
They didn't tell Ric, and they didn't tell Elizabeth. They didn't tell Charlotte,
yeah,
Reed's
mom. Mother, too, yeah,
who was
not happy.
She was pissed.
So I think you should have given them the courtesy of that, like whether they agree with it or not. I mean, if they didn't agree with it and you still went for it, at least you told them in advance and they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So then it wouldn't be as... But just to have them watch it, imagine being a parent, watching live on television, watching it, and then having that happen, that's just horrible. I mean, yes, this is professional wrestling, and the lines have been crossed before, but not to warn these people, you know, this is their real life, this is their son, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Who are we to say, like...
Well, I wasn't a big fan of it, just because I understand they're trying to get controversy, and they're trying to get people talking. Whether or not Charlotte signed off on it, and who knows if she's, you know, she's in a tough position because, you know, just getting up to the main roster and where she's at right now to, you know, shoot something down. But I just think that it was such a cheap way to create controversy. I think there's other ways to get emotion involved in a storyline, and I just thought this went too far.
I knew that something was going to happen when they were on the last segment on the show when it's Survivor Series, and
right.
I just thought the placing of it was just so
weird,
strange. Like at one point, I was like, something. It's a contract signing. These two are in the. Like I didn't know if Becky Lynch was going to come out and reveal that she attacked Natalya and makes this whole big thing, or if Alondra Blaze was going to come out. But I knew something was going to happen during this segment. I mean, I had no idea that was going to be what's going to happen. Which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but yeah, they did cross the line for sure. It's just a matter of if, you know, no matter how you feel, but just the fact that they didn't tell their family, I still don't get that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I wish WWE would kind of apologize. I don't think they're going to, so I just hope it kind of blows over very quickly. And, you know, if they don't make a public apology about the storyline, I hope they at least apologize to Ric and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like
yeah,
you said, no matter what.
That's, this weekend, for sure.
Yeah,
they need to.
That was bad. I mean, I just don't like the idea, too. That's got to be, it's already, we could talk about the angle, but to put somebody, one of your talents, in that kind of position, and I know it's the wrestling business, but still.
You saw her shaking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not cool to put somebody in that position.
She was emotionally distressed.
Oh, dude, you knew something was going on the second she was out there, because she was, Charlotte's not the strongest promo, okay? And that's. That it is what it is, okay? I'm not trying to criticize her, you know? But then on top of that, to know that this is what she's going to be delivering in her lines, that's just beyond rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, she could have even mentioned it and everything, but just the fact that maybe Paige not using the word, like, you know, that line.
It's,
that's what put it over the top. I mean, that's what, you're always going to, whether it's that or what, you're always going to remember it.
That's,
it is what it is, but like I said, hopefully the positive out of this will have, you know, them, the fans emotionally invested, and they have a good match on Sunday, and, you know, and then, like you said, move past this, basically.
Yeah. Well, everybody can find you on Twitter. It's SM Fishman, and then, of course, your work is over there at the Channel Guide magazine website, channelguidemagblog.com.
Yeah, I'm still doing stuff for the Herald, too.
Yep, and,
I can
you're
throw that in there, miamiherald.com/fighting
sports/fighting. / Scott Fish. I don't know. Just kidding.
/ kaboom splat.
Yeah, hey, those are all trademarked now, Dan. That's my stuff. Okay, I'm coming up with that. I want credit. They use any of that. I want credit. That's all. I'm not asking for money even necessarily. I just, if you want
They're
to give me money, I'll take it. But
CC Brian Fritz.
Yes.
On their logo.
Just the first time.
Or whatever.
Just when they initialize it, and they say, you know, when they put out the press release and says our show has been rebranded to this, a name, and just put, you know, comma or dash, a name that was created by Brian Fritz. You know, that's all you got to do. I mean,
right.
You know, or allow me to come back to your shows or something.
What are you, banned?
Well, I'm not banned, but I sure had to go through a lot to get into it the last time. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That's another time we'll talk about that story.
There was some hoops being run through for that one. And by the time I got there, I was a sweaty mess, which was not cool either. So,
well, you did have some fun at the theme park.
Absolutely, man. It was great. I love the park, man. You know me. So, cool, Scotty. Appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.